Hey everybody, this is Trevor Hall. Thank you for tuning in to Mining Stock Daily. It is Friday, October 4th. Appreciate you tuning in. We got an in-depth interview today with the CEO of Fiore Gold. His name is Tim Worman. That's actually another interview I've had on the backlog from Beaver Creek Precious Metals Summit. Sorry for the delay in publishing the interview today. Just had some stuff to take care of here with the family. So anyways, we're going to jump into this conversation with Tim. Before we do that, I would like to thank our sponsors. That is Integra Resources, Pacific Empire Minerals, and Western Copper and Gold. Thank you so much for the support of Mining Stock Daily. So without further ado, here's my interview with Mr. Tim Worman of Fiore Gold. Take care, everybody. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you again on Monday. Welcome to the Beaver Creek Precious Metals Summit. It is day two, and I'm now joined by Tim Worman, CEO of Fiore Gold, which trades on the TSX Venture Exchange with the symbol F, and on the OTCQB market with FIOGF. The company is producing out of the Pan Mine and has a couple other projects in both North and South America that we'll probably mention a little bit, specifically Golden Eagle and Gold Rock today. I will preface this interview by saying I do own a small portion of shares of Fiore Gold. Tim, thank you for joining us here on Mining Stock Daily. How is the conference going with you, for you?
It's busy. It's this is always a great conference, and we're seeing lots of interest, so I can't complain.
What are some of the conversations you're having this week that investors, both institutional and retail side of things, are really interested to know from Fiore's perspective?
Yeah, I think they want to see how we're going to grow the company. Right now we're sort of 45 to 50,000 ounce producer, which is probably a bit small for most investors, particularly institutional investors. And I think it's been a chance to show them that we've got organic growth inside the company that's going to get us up over that 100,000 ounce mark, 100,000 ounce a year production mark. And that's really kind of a hurdle that you need to get over before you start getting institutional interest in the company. And it's been a good opportunity to kind of showcase that.
Well, development and construction of that of Pan happened in really the bottom of the cycle. It got worse as things were producing, right? So, what was it like as a CEO to build and produce, knowing that the market was really in the tank?
Yeah, so I mean, we didn't so much build because we bought the asset out of bankruptcy. So, Midway Gold had built the mine and was operating it briefly before they went bankrupt in 2015. We picked it up out of bankruptcy for about $5 million and really just kind of solved the problems that had plagued Midway. And we had the luxury of not having any debt. Midway was quite heavily loaded with debt, and I think that was part of the problem there. But we've really just got it turning around, and Pan is now cash flowing. It's we're generating free cash flow from that mine. It's producing well, and I think it's a real turnaround story, and it's a bit of a testament to our operating team. I mean, these guys are really good.
Yeah. I do want to ask you, your financials came out, I believe it was last week or 2 weeks ago. The share price took a little bit of a hit. It seems like a lot of investors were a little bit unhappy with the increased operations capital it took to run the thing. What is your response and answer to that?
Yeah, so, we'd been guiding the market that Pan was going to go through a period of higher stripping. Life of mine strip is about 1.6 to 1, which is quite low. But right now we're seeing stripping ratios in the vicinity of 2 to 1. And obviously when you're moving that extra waste material, that's a cost that doesn't come with any extra revenue, and that tends to put a bit of upward cost pressure. And now that is a temporary thing. Our stripping ratio is going to stay at about that 2 to 1 level for the next quarter or two, and then it'll start to drop off again and get into more kind of typical things we've been seeing in the past. And so, it didn't come as a surprise to us, but maybe, I think sometimes you have to be clear about that. The other thing that drove it was kind of a one-time hit to our all-in sustaining costs, for example, was that, at the beginning of the year, the market looked a lot less robust, and we basically hadn't planned to pay bonuses to any of the staff. And so as the market got better, our financial performance was looking a lot better. We made the decision that, to help retain staff, we were going to pay a company-wide bonus to, particularly to our guys in Nevada at the mine site. And because we hadn't planned on it before, we hadn't accrued any of it. So that added to about $75 to our all-in sustaining cost per ounce, which is a one-time thing. We accrued three quarters of bonus in a single quarter. But, again, it's I think we're still pretty robust. We're still generating cash flow, and which is, I think, marks us completely differently from a lot of other small producers, is that we generate free cash flow.
Do you foresee those operating costs to decrease at all in the next quarterly financials?
Yeah, no, I think you know, we're still seeing that higher strip ratio, and we're also bringing in the crushing circuit, which is, you know, we ran Pan for the last 2 years as a run of mine operation. We always said we were going to put in a crushing circuit out of cash flow, which we did, and a small equipment lease facility. But of course, you know, with a heap leach mine, the day you buy that crusher and start it up, you've got increased costs, but it takes time for that gold to get through the solution, to get through the leach pad. And so there's always a lag between, you know, between your increased operating costs from operating the crusher to actually seeing the increased revenue. So no, I think this quarter we may still see higher costs, but that should start to tail off as we, you know, the impact of that, as we start to see the increased production from the crushing circuit.
Well, it's one of those risks that you take on when you actually have a business instead of just a company, right? You have cash flow, and so you accrue those costs, and some quarters are going to be higher than others. But, you know, I've had multiple conversations with a number of CEOs over the last couple of days about the difference between a company and a business, and basically the business has cash flow, companies don't. And so I think it's, you know, despite some of those operational challenges, you do have cash flow, which a lot of these juniors can't say.
Yeah, you know, and we've got a healthy balance sheet. We've got $10 million in cash. We've got a healthy working capital balance. And, you know, we've been investing in the business. And I think it's important. And, you know, when you invest in the business, your costs go up a bit temporarily, but it's for the long-term, you know, improvement of the business. We'll be seeing more gold ounces this year, this coming year. And you know, I think it's the smart way to run the business.
Any debt on the books?
No, we have no debt other than an equipment finance facility, about $2 million that's really just tied to the crusher. It's not an asset-based debt, and, you know.
So you announced some drilling. I don't think it was exploration drilling. It was a step out, wasn't it?
Yeah, so we, you know, Pan, we've really got Pan kind of fine-tuned and running as we like it. And now the focus is really shifting over to our Gold Rock property, which is right next door. It's on the same concession package. It's about 8 miles away. And Gold Rock we just got the permits for it, the federal permits to build a mine there last year. And we've been drilling on there for the last couple of months to try and grow the resource base. Right now, the resource sits at about all in, inferred and indicated together, run about 400,000 ounces. We want to grow that global resource up to around 500,000 ounces to support the PEA that we'll be doing by the year end. And that'll really start to kind of put some valuation, I think, around Gold Rock and give people a chance to see, you know, what that looks like economically. And you know, our plan is to try and push Gold Rock ahead to production within the next couple of years. And Gold Rock, again, conceptually, if all goes well, should produce something like 50 to 70,000 ounces a year. Combine that with 40 to 50,000 ounces out of Pan, and you're looking at, you know, organic growth to over 100,000 ounces a year, which I think is really a step change for us. And so those drill results at Gold Rock were step outs from the existing resource. Some of them were infill results from the existing resource, really just trying to firm up that resource ahead of the PEA.
And what are some shareholders, what's shareholder conversation like with Gold Rock now, that maybe any concern or excitement, or what's the conversation like?
Yeah, I think people are getting excited about it. I mean, if you think about it, you know, there's not a lot of small producers with fully permitted, or at least fully federally permitted, growth projects out there. And I think people are starting to appreciate that, you know, it's a fairly rare commodity right now. Yeah. And I think they like the idea of, you know, being able to, and keep in mind, you know, we haven't raised equity since we picked up these assets 2 years ago. We've been able to fund all this growth internally. We've been able to fund the exploration, the PEA over at Gold Rock internally, where we're going to be doing more drilling to extend the mine life of Pan, again, funded internally. So it's, you know, I think shareholders like that. And I think they just like the basic competence of being able to run a business and make money at it.
Well, and you're kind of in a unique situation because you're past an explorer company, and you're not Newmont Barrick, which is basically taking over the whole state of Nevada. You're right in there in between as a smaller company. What are some of the good things you can leverage in that position, but also what are the challenges of that position?
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's a lot of competition for people in Nevada right now. It's a busy place. We've got new mines coming online. We've got, you know, expansions going on in various places. And so, you know, as a smaller company, you sometimes have to be a bit more creative in order to retain, you know, and attract staff. But we've been pretty successful at that. It's given us a lot of leverage in the sense that, you know, we can go after projects that, you know, aren't going to make a difference to a Barrick or a Newmont or, you know, even a Kinross or, you know, companies like that. You know, there's ones out there that we think we can run quite competently, and I think there's a lot of opportunity there.
What's this company look like at the end of this bull cycle? You know, if gold moves up to whatever it wants to be, but we start moving back down, which it's going to happen because it's cyclical, what is Fiore going to be at that point?
I think we want to just be, you know, what we are now, except on a larger scale. We want to be a profitable producer, and we want to build the business. You know, I mean, we don't do our budgeting at $1,500 gold. You know, we do it at, I think this year we're doing it at $1,300 gold. And so, you know, anything above that is great. It's gravy. But we designed the business to run at a kind of long-term gold price and not just something that only works when gold is, you know, screaming.
You've been through a lot of cycles in your career. Where are we at in this one, in your thoughts?
I don't know. It's really unusual. You know, I mean, I started in the business in the late 80s, and I've listened to, you know, time and again to kind of young fund managers tell me, oh, this time is different. You know, it's not going to go down. It's going to stay up. And you know it's going to go down. You know it's going to come back up again. Where are we right now? I don't know. It's a little different this time. Gold's had a really quick run, which has been unusual. And I think people are kind of waiting to see, is it going to stick there? How long it has to stick for? I don't know.
Well, you've proven that you can run a mine at 1250 gold, so that's good. How challenging was that for you at that stage as a CEO, like knowing gold was in a pretty tough spot and every company was just really struggling?
Yeah, it was. There was a lot of nights where I was awake at 3 o'clock in the morning, thinking about work and what we were going to do. But we've got a good team, and fundamentally, just kind of have to trust them, and you know. That they know what they're doing and that they can run it profitably, and that's worked out, you know. And obviously the gold price has helped us, but you know, we can make money at, you know, we were making, you know, generating good cash flow at, you know, gold prices below $1,300. So I think I wake up at 3 a.m. a lot less now.
Well, that's good. I've heard a lot of people waking up at 3 a.m. this week because they're not used to the altitude, so at least you're getting some sleep. Tim, what else do we need to talk about that you want to be sure shareholders are aware of?
Well, you know, we've got one other interesting thing that's kind of been sitting on the back burner is a project that we have up in Washington State called Golden Eagle. And it's got a historical resource from 2009 that was done when gold was $750. That it's about 1.8 million ounces at about 1.7 grams per ton. So it's a little higher grade. It's refractory. But we're looking to consolidate that package up there because, you know, we like it. It's a cheap project to hold. It's big. And I think if we can consolidate it with some of the ground around it, we could be looking at a multi-million ounce asset, you know, in the U.S. Sure, it's in Washington State, but I mean, 10 years ago, if you told people that Idaho was going to be a great place to build a mine, they would have laughed at you. So, you know, we're hoping to have some developments on that to report in the next little while. And again, just advancing Gold Rock and carrying on with Pan.
And where is that located in Washington?
It's in the Eureka area in the Republic Mining District, and it's a historic mining district that produced about 4 million ounces over the years. Kinross actually just closed the last two mines there quite recently, the Buckhorn and Kettle River mines. Their ore was exhausted, but it's an interesting place, and it's got quite a mining history.
So what can we expect to hear from that? Is there some geophysical work going on, some drilling? What's happening?
Yeah, no, I think what we're planning to do right now is really just consolidate the land package. Our own land package is quite small. We're surrounded by ground controlled by one of the larger producers, but we think we're confident that we can do a deal with them to kind of consolidate that area. It's non-core for them, and that opens up a lot of interesting possibilities. So.
Before we leave, any updates you want to share about Cerro Tostado or Rio Loa in South America?
Yeah, those two projects are kind of legacy projects. They're earlier stage exploration projects. Not really core for us right now. Just looking for a home for them.
Any conversations about those projects with other companies?
We've had a few sort of expressions of interest, but still early stages, yeah.
So that those are projects you would get off the books if you had a good opportunity.
Exactly.
Tim, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. And keep up the good work and keep producing some gold. All right. Thank you so much. That's Tim Warman, CEO of Fiore Gold, which trades on the Toronto Venture Exchange with the letter F and on the OTC markets with FIOGF.
Mining Stock Daily and its affiliates are not responsible for any loss arising from any investment decision in connection with material presented herein.